Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we want to. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin. Hi, Austin.
Lucky number 13.
It is lucky number 13. I can never understand why, like, elevators and stuff in hotels never have the 13th floor.
That's so silly to me. How silly is that?
It's so silly. I don't understand it.
I encountered that recently. It was... Really? I was just, like, floored. Yeah.
Are we still doing this in 2025? I don't know. That's how it feels to me, but... What other stuff do people, like, leave 13 out of?
Hospitals.
Oh, really? I guess some people are just superstitious. I don't know.
Okay, I will admit I have a superstition about 13, though.
What?
If I'm reading a book, I can't stop on chapter 12 because that's touching chapter 13. I can't stop on chapter 13 because that's chapter 13. And I can't stop on chapter 14 because that's touching 13. So if I'm finishing chapter 11 of a book, I have to go all the way until I get to chapter 15. And then I can stop reading.
What? I never knew this about you.
Yep.
You can't stop on a chapter preceding or after 13?
Yep. It's too close to 13.
Why?
Because you stop after chapter 12, you're touching 13.
But what's so bad about 13 that you can't, like, stop on it?
It's unlucky.
It is not unlucky.
It's actually not unlucky because who the fuck cares? But it's just a little superstition I have.
Okay, I will say that I also have a superstition not related to 13.
What's your superstition?
Okay, the other day, you remember when we were at Waffle House?
Yeah.
And I spilled the salt?
Oh, you do the salt thing.
Yeah, I knocked over the salt by accident, and I was like, wait, stop. Everybody stop. I have to take the salt, spin around, and throw it over your shoulder, like, or whatever it was.
Is that the time I was playing with the jukebox?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Do you want to tell the listeners about our Waffle House jukebox adventure?
I played the Star Wars Cantina theme.
That was fun. But that wasn't the point of the jukebox. That's not why you subjected me to that.
I was going down a rabbit hole about the song Rock Me Amadeus and all the various versions of it. And poor Alex had to suffer through this because I was like, I need to hear every version of Rock Me Amadeus because I couldn't find the version I remembered. And we went through like five or six different versions of Rock Me Amadeus in the car in a row.
This is not your average song, by the way. This is like a 12-minute song, each version. It's extremely long.
I was shocked when we found that version that was that long. And it was like playing sounds of car accidents and being like, and then Falco died. And it became like a church choir.
If anybody isn't familiar, so this song, Rock Me Amadeus by Falco, I guess that was like his only song because I don't know him to have ever done anything else quite to the fame.
He died.
So yeah, he tragically died in a car accident back in the 90s, I think. And there was this one version, I don't know what version it was, but it was extremely distasteful. And they're like Austin said, playing the sound of the car wreck and the aftermath. And then it was like his funeral and shit. I was like, what the hell is this?
It was wild. And Alice was like, we need to stop listening to Rock Me Amadeus. And I was like, no!
This is like the 12th time we listened to it.
It's like 30 or 40 minutes of this.
Of the same song.
And we finally get to Waffle House. And I discreetly go over to the jukebox and play Rock Me Amadeus.
Okay, but you don't know the lead up to that. So Austin, I was not paying attention to Austin because he got up and I thought he like went to the bathroom. So I was like, okay, he'll be back in a second. I genuinely did not see him go to the jukebox. And so all of a sudden the fucking Rock Me Amadeus song comes over the loudspeaker and I'm like, oh, Austin is never gonna believe the coincidence of this. And then I realized what had happened and I was like, oh, yeah. Well. Oh, that was also the same time we went to Waffle House where like Waffle House corporate came over the intercom from like their remote location.
Yeah, what was that?
That was so weird.
a message from the Waffle House God. They had something to say.
I have never experienced this in all my life.
They were, like, talking to the Waffle House staff. They were like, yes. We need someone to get on table 3 or something like that.
No, he said something like, hey, just checking in, guys. Everything good? And they talked back. So they had, like, a two-way over the loudspeaker.
For a whole place to hear.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we're good. Okay. And I was like, what the actual fuck just happened? How many times have we gone to Waffle House? Hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. And I've never experienced that in my entire life.
We have not been to Waffle House since.
That was the special Waffle House. That was the one we specifically went to because it was actually like a building and not like half a trailer.
A quote unquote nice Waffle House.
Yeah, it was twice as big as a normal Waffle House. It was different. It was a bougie luxury Waffle House.
It came on 2 trucks, not 1 truck.
Yeah. It had a ramp and everything. It was like a huge like front area. You don't get those at normal Waffle Houses.
I just wanted to comment real quick. I was listening to the previous episode back, and I swear to God, there's a point near the beginning during our week talk discussion. You and I sound like we're interrupting each other, and we are. And I'm like, oh no, the audio is totally out of sync. I completely fucked it up editing. Because you would start a sentence like, and then in Mississippi, and I'd be like, oh yeah, in Mississippi, blah, 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 blah. And then I would start a sentence like, and I was playing Star Fox, and before I even finished saying Star Fox, you would be like, ooh, Falco is blah, 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 unrelated to Rock Me Amadeus Falco.
So was it messed up?
No, it was not messed up. I went back, and it's just that we have so many little in-jokes that we cut each other off midway through sentences, and it doesn't make any goddamn sense, because we're talking so fucking fast.
Sorry, guys.
And I'm like, this is incomprehensible to anyone.
When we get into it and we get super excited, we talk to each other like we do normally because we've been friends forever and a half, which I know does not make for good podcasting, so I apologize for that.
There's a term for that when people talk over each other, but it's not like rude. It's just like how people talk.
I guess it's because we already are kind of anticipating what the other one is going to say, so you just jump in with your whatever you have to add.
You know what they're thinking as they say it, so yeah. You just like cut to the chase.
It's like, I don't need for you to finish this whole thought. I already am a step ahead of you. Just get on with it.
Too bad we're being recorded.
Yeah. It's more obvious because it's being played back, so we'll be more mindful.
I just thought that was interesting.
Oh, we did it. We just did it again.
God damn it.
Anyway. Okay. So, what's been going on this week, Austin?
Oh, I have an update, actually.
Okay, what's the update?
I told you I was waiting for my game to come in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It arrived.
Here's what I got.
Oh, God. Oh, the secret game. Oh, my gosh. You didn't tell me what it was.
Yep.
And now I know. It was Power Rangers Rita's Rewind.
I held out for a physical edition.
Wait, okay. So, when did the game originally come out? Was the physical release later on?
Yeah. Or? It came out, like, December or so.
So, what's this game about? I don't know if I've heard of it.
Oh, it's a really low-budget retro beat-em-up.
Okay.
Which I used to rent the Power Rangers SNES game, where it was the same format.
Okay.
So, it was just a fun little throwback. That's all. It wasn't worth the money I spent for it.
How much is this going for?
$35. Jesus. And I beat it in, like, an hour.
It says it's a side-scrolling action beat-em-up game.
Yeah.
Following the Power Rangers as they face off against a robotic reincarnation of their nemesis, Rita Repulsa. This looks like a little game. It looks like there's not a whole lot of depth to this, but...
Oh, it's a very little game. I didn't even have to wait for it to download on the disc. I think the entire game is on the disc.
And this is for PlayStation?
Yeah. I could have gotten it for Switch or PlayStation 5, but I'm like, I need more PlayStation 5 games.
You gotta build out your catalog.
To justify my purchase.
God, this article on Wikipedia is, like, the smallest article in existence.
Well, it's a nothing game.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm sure you'll finish it in, like, a couple days.
Oh, I 100%ed it.
Oh, you already did? Okay, never mind.
It's done.
So, overall thoughts and impressions, then?
Cute, not worth $35.
Okay, if you had an Xbox, I wonder... Well, probably not, but I was going to say something like this is probably not on Game Pass, but you could have got Game Pass and played it for, quote-unquote, free.
You're thinking about Game Pass a lot lately.
I know, I am thinking about Game Pass. Oh my God, speaking of Game Pass, I'm sorry. Can I move on from Power Rangers? Because...
Of course.
I was super excited. I was talking to Austin's friend yesterday. He called Austin. It just so happened to come up that he was playing Oblivion also, and I was super excited to learn this because... I did not know that your friend was an Oblivion, or, like, a gamer at all, so that surprised me. But he also gave a shout out to South of Midnight, which I do want to play. Not for that price, but Game Pass might make it worth it. But then, of course, you're paying for Game Pass, so we'll see. But yeah, no, that's exciting.
All right, what'd you do?
Okay, so what did we do this week? I've been playing Oblivion, of course, which I won't get into that. I am waiting for the update, though. The first update since launch is supposed to drop on the 11th, I think. And so I'm, like, trying to wait.
Oh, they just announced the physical version.
Don't lie to me.
Ah, you got me.
Don't lie to me. Stop. Oh, my God. The fucking cold feeling that I just got in my chest when you said that.
I was hoping to trick you.
Oh, no. Don't do this to me. I would buy it anyway, I feel like. I have it on digital, but anyway. I'm waiting for the update. It's supposed to add a little bit of stuff. Nothing crazy. Mostly, like, performance and quests and little bugs and stuff like that. But Josh and I visited you yesterday. We continued our David Lynch marathon.
I am a human being.
I am a man. We watched Elephant Man, which was very long for what it was, I think.
Yeah, but it was very long.
It's like a 2-hour movie of, like, this guy's life story, which the real life story of Joe Merrick is insanely sad. Felt horrible reading the real life account. The David Lynch movie, I guess it was decidedly less Lynchian than Eraserhead. Like, I was expecting it to be something crazy. It wasn't that crazy. It wasn't really anything. It was obviously a movie from the 80s, filmed in all black and white to give it that 1800s look, I suppose.
I do have to comment. We keep on calling him Joe Merrick. He's really Joseph Merrick, and we're confusing him.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Joseph Merrick. Which I wasn't really sure why they changed his name to John in the movie.
I'm sure there's a reason for it.
So next we have Blue Velvet, so that should be interesting. Nothing else for you, I suppose?
Nope, let's get to it. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback time. Do you want me to go first? I actually have a follow-up from last week's conversation.
Oh, okay.
On Instagram, Liam, last week we discussed the answer to his question about our favorite Pokemon and who would be on our team of six. So Liam followed up and said that he realized that he forgot to include his top six. So I'm going to go ahead and read that out. If we were wondering what Liam's top six team would be.
16?
Top six would be.
Top six team.
Team. Not 16 Pokemon. Top six team. Do you want to guess? Any guesses for what Liam?
I could just guess random Pokemon.
Just guess.
Fearow, Slowking, Hawlucha.
Interesting choices there.
I'm thinking outside the box.
None of that is
Goodra,
right.
Goodra.
Ooh, Goodra. I love Goodra.
Kingdra and no. Blaziken. I don't know.
Those are actually some really good choices. Unfortunately, no. You're 0 for 6, but that's okay.
Okay.
I will read it. It says that Liam's top six would be Lapras, Bayleaf, Dragonite, Ampharos, Breloom, and Crocodile. But he says it's a close call between Glaceon and Crocodile for the last spot. Solid choices there, I think. I have to know what you feel about Mega Ampharos, like with the Fabio hair.
Oh, way better.
Way better.
That's my opinion.
That's it for my listener feedback. What about you?
Pokemon Megastar has a lot to say about our last couple episodes.
Okay, lay it on me.
All right, this is in reference to the Max School episode. Pokemon Megastar likes how it shows that he has so much to learn as a trainer. For the gym battle with Roxanne, it kind of shows that Ash and Hoenn has been a bit overconfident, even if he did win. In the next gym, Brawly might show some more.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's some foreshadowing there. Nose Pass is a good idea, but not good overall. We don't talk about Probopass. Zap Cannon can paralyze, so maybe Pikachu was using the power of that. The MVP for the school episode from Pokemon Megastar is Poliwag for having a good defensive moveset. LVP to Cacnean's Viper for losing to children. For the gym episode, MVP to Pikachu for having a good overall showing. Co-signed on that. Pikachu, I almost gave him MVP. Mm-hmm. But LVP to Roxanne's Geodude for losing to an electric type move.
Oh, I thought it was going to be LVP to Roxanne's hair, and I was like, yes, hard agree. Hard agree on that.
DJ Mary's hair, though.
Oh my god, her hair is even worse.
Oh my god, we'll I never saw that before. Okay.
I know, we'll talk about that.
Okay, now, so Pogo Megastar's comment for our most recent episode 12. This really feels like a Friday night recording.
Oh, shit. Hey, okay, you know what? I'm not apologizing. You get what you get, and that's us raw, unfiltered, at our best.
Would your singing podcast be called Out of the Jukebox?
You don't want to know.
It'd be called, like, Out of Tune or something.
Tone Deaf, the podcast.
Maybe I was being naive, but I didn't think much of Mr. Stone's and Max's interactions. You were being naive, because that was weird.
That was weird.
It was odd. Are we being weird? Are we the weird ones?
No, it's weird behavior for a grown-ass man to take a child off with him without saying anything and be like, yes, little boy, come around with me and be my best friend. Like, yes, it's weird.
The part where he held Max against the wall with his hand over his mouth was a bit much.
Exactly. He grabbed him from behind and, like, stifled his mouth and was like, shh, don't say anything. I was like, okay, weirdo alert.
But looking back, yeah, I could see that as creepy. Mr. Briny and Pico were fun, but I want to point out something. Pikachu obliterated that small island rock. That was awesome. I'm glad they decided to use the evil teams.
I'm glad, Ash.
Triangle Rock, we really needed to focus more on that. It was a wild moment.
We should have talked more about how Ash is an eco-terrorist. Yes, we should have.
It makes me wish that they used the Team Rocket admins in Silver and Johto. Yeah, Johto, missed opportunity.
Yeah, we never saw Silver, and we never saw Ariana, and the whole he could be, that's his mother, and Giovanni, and all that stuff. Okay, yes.
Here's Pokemon Megastars team of six.
Ooh, I love how everybody's doing this. I want to know.
I know. Squirtle, Pikachu, Armourouge, Lapras, another Lapras.
Hey!
Any Rotom form, and Dragapult.
Dragapult, interesting choice. Okay.
MVP for the Max and Mr. Stone episode is Max. LEP is the guards for failing at their jobs. For the second episode, which is the Briny episode, MVP goes to Pikachu for blowing up the rock.
Okay.
LEP for both of you for simping for sailors. For us.
Okay, what? We are not crazy. Mr. Briny was like a freaking hottie.
I think maybe it's like because sailors are, you should never fall in love with a sailor.
Because they'll leave you.
Yeah. Fleet Week. Only lasts 1 week.
That is true. And then you end up, like, old and waiting for your long-lost love to come back after, like, 30 years at sea.
Also, sailors have a love in every port, so they probably carry disease.
Okay.
I was not simping for the sailors. I just thought it was very odd the way they were animated.
Mr. Briny only has one true love anyway, and that's Pico. It's Pico. So, nobody Freak. Can compete. Yeah.
Keep up the amazing work, Drying Band team, and have a good day.
Thanks. You too, Pokemon Megastar. We always appreciate that.
Okay, the first episode is advanced episode Sharpedo Attack.
Okay.
And Flippy Flip the Coin.
And the other episode, by the way, since Austin just didn't finish that whole thought, is the Chronicles episode, Oaknout.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Heads, so time me, please.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
It's time for a two-headed torpedo attack, because Mr. Briny takes us to his secret island. Okay. And torpedoes encircle the twerps, and they're going to eat them all. But one of them gets sick because it's a viper, and so Brock nurses it back to health. And so Brock and the Sharpedo cuddle, and it's kind of cute. And then the Sharpedos attack Team Rocket instead, and now the twerps are friends with the Sharpedos. And where was Carvana in this episode? And that's it. Time.
Time. Yeah, good question. Where was Carvana in this episode? Do we get another separate?
I don't remember Carvana ever doing anything.
Why weren't they just part of the school? Just interspersed?
I don't know.
They could have easily included it and just had a Pokédex entry read out, but whatever. Okay, I watched the episodes out of order, actually. I watched the Oaknapped one first, so I'm all turned around. I'm not a good navigator, not like Mr. Briny, because we are still on the Pico-mobile with Mr. Briny. We're still with Briny.
In the Pico-mobile.
On the Pico-mobile. We're scheduled to arrive at Dewford by nightfall, so we have time. And May decides that this is a wonderful opportunity to let her Pokemon out and enjoy the salty sea air.
She's right.
I feel like May would be a sailor in another life.
Okay.
Too much.
Let me find some May as Team Aqua fan art while you're talking about that.
I know. The rest of them also think that this is a good idea, that they should take a little vacation because they've earned it, doing nothing at all, of course. they decide that Ash is overruled and that he can just calm down because they're entitled to a vacation. And it's not all about what Ash wants, is it? It's about what the group wants. May has bought a nice, cute new swimsuit, and she wants a chance to go and use it. So she's like, I'm going to go swimming. And Mr. Briney's like, well, if that's what you want to do, guys, I know of this perfect little spot that we can go, that you guys can swim in the safety of, like, a bay and not out in the open ocean, because that would be terrible.
Yes, it would be. I don't understand people who like to get into the water and the ocean. I don't understand it.
Oh, this is cute. You sent me a picture of May in a Team Aqua outfit.
Yeah, she looks good.
Why does it work so well? I love that.
It looks really... Well, she's wearing a bandana. I think that's what it is.
Instead of the hoodie with the spikes on it for Team Magma? Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. The hoodie with the spikes looks awful. I don't care what you say.
I like the spike hoodie. I don't...
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it. I think I'm a minority here, but whatever.
Team Aqua has a better look.
I suppose. Aesthetically, sure, but... Also, I think that their goal is way stupider than Team Magma.
They both have pretty stupid goals.
I mean, yeah, if you break it down. But, like, having more land for people makes more sense than having it be, like, Water World or whatever. But they both don't think things through.
No.
We'll talk about them later on when we get to them, I guess. Ash, of course, is pitching a little hissy fit. But Max is a master manipulator, even though he's a small child. And he butters Ash up with some obvious flattery. He's like, you are the best trainer, and don't you think that you should probably rest? Because you're so good that you don't need to really practice or anything. Like, come on, just swim around with us. And Ash is like, okay, you totally convinced me. I will do that because I am the best.
Team Ash.
You're Team Ash?
Why are we manipulating or monopolizing Mr. Briney's time and hanging out in the fucking ocean? Let's go.
Okay, that is true. If you're talking about it from a let's not inconvenience Mr. Briney perspective, sure.
This detour is going to last them 3 days. I'm just saying.
It really does last them 3 days. Okay, but to be fair, they didn't know it was going to last 3 days.
Well, Mr. Briney said if we keep going at this speed, we're going to get to Dewford at nightfall. So I'm like, well, let's not like belabor the point. Let's not arrive in the middle of the night. Let's just go, 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 go.
A 3 hour tour.
Exactly. Why do people go in the ocean?
I don't know. It didn't work out for Gilligan. It's not going to work out for the twerps. Okay? Spoiler alert.
Too bad they don't end up on a giant Pokemon Mechabot amusement park island. That would be way better.
We could have had it all. No, instead we get this little secluded, unnamed island that apparently only Mr. Briney knows about.
Calling bullshit on that, but okay.
Yeah. Brock is looking it up, and he's like, excuse me, please. Can you tell me what this island is called? And Briney's like, can't tell you. This is my own personal spot.
Briney's Cove.
Ooh, Briney's Cove. Do you think he uses that as, like, a pickup line? He's like, hey there, lassie.
Hey there, Pico. Want to come back to Briney's Cove?
No, stop.
Probably named it in Pico's honor, actually.
Pico Island. No, my God. Pico's Cove sounds so bad. Okay, I'm sorry.
Ooh, Pico Cove.
No, that's implications. Okay, anyway.
Cloaca Cove.
Stop that. Stop that right now.
Never.
Okay, so we are in this island. Looks like a crescent moon. It's kind of cool. And May doesn't waste any time. Like, she doesn't even check with Briney and say, hey, Mr. Briney, is this, like, a good place? Can we, like, jump off now? She just fucking jumps off of the boat before anybody can even say anything to her.
She's gonna get hit by the boat.
I know. I'm like, wait a second. Oh, well, this boat doesn't have propellers. Remember, it has like rocket boosters.
Oh, okay. Why didn't we take the rocket boosters to Dewford? It'd take like an hour to get there at most.
Mr. Briney is just enjoying these kids' company. Maybe he's just a lonely old man. He's like, I'm just gonna just leisurely sail to have them here longer. I don't know.
I can't relate. So, sorry, I'm being such a stick in the mud. I'm being such a drowning child in the ocean at this point.
You cannot relate to wanting to have people around you? Sure.
No, I can't relate to wanting to leisurely stroll the seas.
Oh my God, should I even talk about my worst seafaring experience of all time?
The time you got sick on the cruise?
No, it was something else.
How many horrible stories do you have?
I have so many horrible boating stories, you guys.
I know the crabs on the beach.
Okay, that was a long time ago. That was when I was like a small child in the Bahamas. So there was that. Then there was a cruise that I got violently ill on, and that was horrendous.
I knew about that one.
Then there was the one time where I was forced into going on a fishing expedition, I guess, on a fishing boat. And instead of going out to the ocean and just cutting the engine, sitting there and fishing for 3 hours, it was a trawling fishing expedition, which means that the boat is constantly moving.
Okay.
For 3 hours.
3 hour tour.
Oh my God, I'm getting sick just thinking about it. And that was one of the most miserable experiences of my life because I didn't even want to go and I was forced into it. And
you're seasick.
I will never set foot on another boat like that. Anyway, I hate boats.
Even the Pico-mobile.
The Pico-mobile is weird, but if I'm not on it, I can't really complain. Max also follows May into the water, and then inexplicably, for some godforsaken reason, we get a slow-mo shot of Max and May splashing each other with the sparkling seawater. Interesting choices were made. Mm-hmm. But this fun is short-lived because, like, 50 Sharpedo suddenly surround them out of nowhere and try to rip their arms and legs off, which is just terrifying.
This is why we don't go in the water.
Right? I don't think anybody was anticipating this, but at the same time, this is horrific.
Yeah, why are these sharks pursuing them?
Because that's what sharks do.
Okay.
So we don't have anything to rescue May and Max with. We have no life jackets, no life rings, nothing that we could use to haul them aboard quickly. So instead, Mr. Briny does the only thing he could think of, and he's like, Pico, do something. Pico flies over, and they grab onto its little feet nubs, and poor Pico has to pull them out of the water and, like, rip its legs off to try to save them.
To be Pico is to suffer.
I felt so bad for Pico in this episode.
Okay, did I miss the part where Talo started to help?
Maybe I missed it too, because suddenly Talo was like grabbing onto Pico to try to help, and I was like, wait, when did that happen?
Yeah, it's like we missed a shot of Talo jumping in, and like all of a sudden Talo was just attached to Pico.
We learn about an interesting ability that Sharpedo has called Rough Skin, which upon contact with an enemy or attacker, it basically shaves your skin off.
Can we talk about how Max's leg was entirely like scraped off? And Brock was like, you're lucky. This could have been a lot worse. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Does Brock mean that, like, if he had gotten scraped worse, it would have literally taken off all of his skin instead of just, like, scrapes?
The top layer? Ew.
Down to the muscle or something? I don't know.
Ew.
Because that's the impression I got, was that it could have ripped his whole skin off. Like, I don't know.
I mean, they were surrounded by 50 giant shark things.
Shark heads.
Yeah. Shark heads. All right, let's talk about Sharpedo.
Do we love it or do we love it? I love it.
It's an odd one, for sure.
It is odd, but it's super cute. It's like a big head.
Yeah, they're like, let's do a shark, Pokemon, but that's too obvious. Let's just make it a head.
It's a torpedo. It has a star for a butt.
I like how it has, its eyes are in its gills. That's weird.
I love that. Like it's kind of like the Dusclops, where it's sort of like a black nebulous abyss behind its eyeball gill, and it just sort of like floats behind there. It's really weird.
It's very strange. Okay, so are the yellow markings supposed to be impact markings? Like, what is that?
You mean, like, on its actual body?
Yeah, there's, like, a yellow X on all their, like, foreheads.
Let's see what Bulbapedia has to say.
No, let's
not. Biology. No, I want to know. I want to know what it says.
I don't want to know.
I do.
I don't want to know.
It just says yellow star-shaped scar.
Okay, great. A yellow scar-shaped scar. Great.
Star-shaped scar.
Oh, star-shaped scar.
Yes.
As opposed to the leader Sharpedo, who has actual scars on his dorsal fin.
It's just an aesthetic decision. So, anywho, they're getting accosted by this pack of sharks, which is absolutely horrific, but they finally manage to get to safety when Briny pulls them back onto the boat, and they make off to a different part of the island.
Onto the island and not out to sea.
Yeah.
So now they're trapped.
They get bullied into the beach area, I suppose.
It made me think of Steven Universe with Peridot and Steven saying, let's go into that corner. Oh no, we're cornered.
Well, we have to have a plot, Austin. So of course we have to get trapped on the island.
Oh, okay.
So a couple Sharpedo stay back as like lookouts to keep them from leaving. And suddenly, Brock turns into our resident Sharpedo-ologist and says that it's quite strange that the Sharpedo are schooling together because normally they're an independent sort of Pokemon. And he further theorizes that if they beat up the leader Sharpedo, that all the other ones might take that as a sign of strength and back down. So they have to beat it on a one-on-one battle.
Let's make some Sharpedo soup out of them.
Oh no. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is exhausted because they have been pedaling their Magikarp sub all day and night and spot the deserted island also. And they're like, let's go rest up on that island. That'll work. But they are intercepted by the gang of Sharpedo, and before they can really get close to the island, they get blasted off, but not before they get into a fight. And Seviper uses Poison Tail a couple times on the leader. Looks like it doesn't do anything for now, but just stay tuned.
Team Rocket did nothing wrong. They were being attacked by sharks. I think they're allowed to defend themselves. I'm just saying.
I agree. I totally 100% agree.
Did nothing wrong.
They just were like, oh my god, we're exhausted. We have to go to this island. And then they were run up on by these Sharpedo. And what were they supposed to do? Just let themselves get ripped limb from limb? I don't think so.
Okay, I have an important shark update.
What's the shark update?
A group of sharks is called a shiver.
A shiver?
So they kept on calling it a school of Sharpedo, but I guess it should be a shiver of Sharpedo.
I've never heard that term in my life. A shiver? Ooh, that's so ominous. Team Rocket is blasted off, but as they're flying overhead, they're like, oh, look at that. There's the twerps. They're on the island. How nice. And then they fly off. So the next morning, Ash and the gang decide that they are going to make a distraction to get off of this island. So they kind of have a decent idea. Ash somehow has procured a basin, like a big wash bin. I have no idea where he gets this from. Maybe it's like the porta potty on the Pico Mobile. I don't know. So he uses that as like a little surfboard. And so he attaches ropes to Pico and Talo, and he's going to like fly around and like get pulled on this little makeshift surfboard thing to distract the Sharpedo. So the others also, I guess, have somehow fashioned a fence net out of sticks to kind of pull across the bay to trap the leader shark in the bay area.
After all the rafts they've built in 3 seconds, I don't doubt it for a second.
You know what this was giving? This was giving that raft they built on the Blood Moon Island.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
In like 3 seconds and like sailed to safety as everybody else drowned. That was the vibes I got. So they almost get the barrier erected, but May is attacked and is in danger. So Brock jumps to her rescue with Lotad, but Lotad is unfortunate and doesn't really, like, do much.
What do you think of this gag of Lotad not using Water Gun when commanded?
Is it only Water Gun? Because he seems to do the other moves when he's
Razor Leaf.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gotten kind of old really fast.
Yeah, it was funny at first, but now I'm just like, shit or get off the pot, Lotad. Like, we can't do this all the time. Or maybe Brock should stop using Lotad. I don't know. It uses a water gun, though, after some coaxing and ends up seemingly killing the leader Sharpedo, which they're all shocked because they're like, that shouldn't have done anything. But the Sharpedo faints and is like belly up. And I'm like, is it dead? Is it really, truly dead?
Good. Let's move on.
If a shark stops swimming, it can't breathe.
In all fairness, sharks don't have eyes in their gills, so.
That is
true. The biology might be a bit different.
So on shore, Brock is like, okay, I'm going to be Dr. Brock for a second. He determines that it just so happened to faint, not because of Lotad or the water gun attack, but because it's suffering from the effects of a lingering poison attack.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be going around assaulting everybody. I'm just saying.
Right, Fafo. Fuck around, find out. They think perhaps, maybe, that a tentacruel poisoned it, that it got into a fight, because, like you said, picking fights where it shouldn't be. So little do they know the real reason, but they're going to try to do their best to treat it with what they have. So this is really sweet, actually. Brock spends all night with it. He stands in the ocean with it and gives it, like, motivational words. And he's like, you're going to be okay, Sharpedo. You can do this. And he ends up falling asleep over it, which is kind of cute. And then it hugs him with a fin. Oh, it's so sweet.
The hug was cute.
I know. I know we could never have Sharpedo because it's a water Pokemon, and logistically I get why we can't have it with us, but I kind of wanted Brock to, like, get it.
He looked good with it.
I know. Suddenly, Brock is a water-type trainer.
He's getting a lot of water-types all of a sudden, it's true.
Maybe he took some, like, subconscious inspo from his mom.
I mean, that could have been an in-story plot point, is he was like, I want to learn more about my mom. She has a recent fascination with water-types, and I'm going to figure out what the appeal is. I don't know.
Man, that could have been some really nice, like, character development, but sadly not. Anyway, the next morning, we wake up and we start to have, like, a tender moment with them, like, oh, hey, how'd you sleep and all this stuff. But Team Rocket interrupts, as they do, and they end up catching Pikachu and Sharpedo in a net. But this isn't very long-lived because they discover that it was Team Rocket's doing the poison. And then the school of Sharpedo, oh, I'm sorry, the shiver of Sharpedo return and blast them off.
Shiver me timbers.
So that was a waste of time. But now we're all friends. And apparently, if you're friends, with a Sharpedo. It doesn't hurt you with its rough skin. And it kind of reminded me, do you remember way back the episode with Ponyta and Ash?
Yes, it did. Oh, that's a good point.
When, like, Ash got burned because he wasn't friends with Ponyta, but, like, if you befriend it, then its flame doesn't hurt you anymore. So I guess it's like that.
So did the Sharpedo stay sick for two consecutive nights?
I thought it was one night.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought they were there for 3 days.
Okay, so they got there at night. They spent one night there. That was the night they built the stick fence and all that stuff. And then they spent the second night there.
With the sick Sharpedo.
With the sick Sharpedo. And then the third day is when they go. But they didn't spend three nights. They spent 3 days.
Okay, it was two nights, 3 days. Got it.
Yeah. The Sharpedos say their goodbyes and go off into the sunset, as does Mr. Briney, who has now dropped them off at Dufertown. And he's like, okay, I'm on to Slateport City. I have some shit to do. I can't remember what he said he was doing.
He said he had to go on a cruise. He and Pico were going on a cruise? When did that happen?
Okay, I completely missed that.
When did we decide that? Did he go on Google and buy cruise tickets on the way there?
He's not just doing his own information. Cruise? Why can't he just cruise on his own Pico Mobile, whatever? So he's off to do that, I suppose. And yeah, that is it. We're in Dewford now, so congratulations.
What did you think of this water-based episode?
It was a intro to Sharpedo, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I feel like this is Sharpedo's big moment. There's nothing more to it.
I mean, is that like it? Do we see it again?
I don't recall.
The question is, where's Carvana? Like, that's the question.
I think it's going to show up in a couple episodes, but not for the big role.
It was an episode. I can't really say much more than that. I mean, it was one of the ones that really didn't stand out very much. It was just there.
We went from point A to point B.
Sure. Sorry, I was looking up when it appears, and you're right, it's a couple episodes from now. That is that. So let's do our MVP and LVP in quotes.
Ooh, I'm going first. I'm going to steal Alex's MVP, which is Brock.
Aw, dang.
It was cute, the way that the shark hugged him. My LVP is going to be the shiver of Sharpedo for attacking. I mean, are they going to eat them? Is that the implication? They're going to kill them?
It has to be.
Why else would they be doing this?
I wouldn't know. They're just assholes. Yeah.
My quote, I'm going to take Alex's quote, when Jesse says, prepare for trouble or you'll walk the plank. And James says, make it double or your boat will sink. And Jesse says, that doesn't rhyme.
That was cute. Man, you're taking all the good stuff. Okay, well, in that case, my MVP is going to be Max, I guess.
Why?
Just for his manipulation tactics.
Oh, okay.
Buttering Ash up and stroking his ego and appealing to his vanity.
Hashtag Team Ash.
I guess in that same vein, though, my LVP is going to be May and slightly Max, because it was her fault that we even ended up in this situation, because she just insisted on going to swim in the middle of nowhere. I feel like we could have gotten to Dewford and there probably would have been a beach for them to like play on.
That would make sense.
I'm not really sure why we had to why we had to stop and do this like right now when they could have just kept going on and then gotten to the beach and played on the beach, but whatever. The impulsivity of these kids is just getting people into trouble.
That's true.
My quote is the only other quote that I have, so that's what it's going to be. When Team Rocket is exhausted and they're coming up for air from their Magikarp sub after pedaling all day, and Jesse says, that motivational chanting stuff doesn't work. And James says, all it did was get us lost, and my throat hurts. And Meowth says, that's the last time I'm falling for one of those infomercials.
Yeah, what was that? That was odd.
Well, it made me think of the one time I got taken in by an infomercial. Fuck you, Marvin's Magic. Fuck you.
I will point out one more quote, because this is part of my ongoing Pokemon Dr. Brock alerts that I've been tracking through this whole series.
What was that George Clooney doctor? Dr. Proctor?
Dr. Proctor. Unrelated to that.
Okay.
Brock explicitly says to the Sharpedo, sorry, I'm not a Pokemon doctor, so I can't give you any proper medicine. But once again, this episode demonstrates Brock doesn't give a shit about Pokemon breeding. Brock is about nursing. Like, he's about veterinary stuff.
I love it. It's cute.
I'm like, did they plan that the whole time? Or did they just realize the reality of it? I don't know.
I don't know if it's that deep. Maybe they just decided, like, what could Pokemon breeding really be? Plus, he's always caring for the Pokemon anyway, so.
But he's, like, brushing. He was brushing Vulpix for a while, and he makes food. Yeah. That's about it.
Although I thought Briny was kind of sweet. Like when Brock was having his little self-doubt moment, he's like, I'm not a doctor or whatever. And Briny was like, you're doing the best you can. And at least you're doing something, like be proud of yourself or whatever he said. But it was nice.
All right.
All right.
All right. Let's get with the way more exciting episode.
Oh, boy. This one was something.
Oak-napped.
Chronicles episode. Oh, boy. I did not remember this at all. So this was quite a surprise to me.
Josh remembered this because he said, how many times is Professor Oak going to get kidnapped? And we were like, when has he ever been kidnapped?
I'm sorry that Josh couldn't be on this episode to do a Dr. Namba impression.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. Do we ever see Namba again?
We do.
Okay, maybe he could show up for that. Just give me advanced warning.
Well, I don't know when he's going to show up. I just know he does.
Oh, shit. Okay, well.
This might be Dr. Namba's biggest role, though. He was in this episode way more than I thought he would be.
Yeah, that is true. Part of me kind of wishes this wasn't a Chronicles episode, because I feel like some of the implications of this could have been interesting, but I know it would never go anywhere.
All right. Well, you're going to have to interrupt me when I'm summarizing to tell me what you're talking about.
Aren't I summarizing this?
You're doing the 30-second summary.
Oh, you mean the big summary.
Yes.
The recap. Okay.
We really need to figure out the language for this shit. You'd think after 180 plus episodes, we would know what we're talking about, but we don't.
The in-depth analysis.
Okay, analysis.
The analysis versus the summary.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe the 30-second summary could be like the Pokédex flavor text or something. I don't know.
Pokédex flavor text?
Dexter dimension. Okay.
Okay, 30
seconds.
Enough of
Get
that.
Ready
All
right. in 3, 2, 1, go.
Tracy gets an unwelcome surprise when the doorbell rings, and who is it but fucking Richie. Gross. Okay, so Richie's here, and they're like, you know what? I need to talk to Professor Oak. So, it turns out Oak is on Seafoam Island doing a TV show, but they arrive and notice that he is gone. Richie, unfortunately, is the only one with a brain and figures out that he was kidnapped. So, we discover that Team Rocket was the kidnapper who brings him to Namba and something Pokerus, and then Oak is saved, and oh my gosh, everything is great. Okay.
So, Chronicles continues. We're having a Pallet Town episode. Tracy answers the door, and oh my god, it's a Pikachu. What is Ash doing here? He should be in Hoenn. But Tracy knows better. He knows Ash isn't going to come for an unscheduled visit to Pallet Town. It's actually Sparky. And the Ash he's seen is actually Richie. Which, as you said, is an unwelcome surprise for Tracy.
Ew. You know what the worst thing is?
What?
That he has not changed his goddamn outfit and he's still wearing that fugly hat.
He is still wearing that weird jumper outfit. Jumper
Gross.
Suit. Richie has not changed his outfit. Tracy also has not changed his outfit, by the way.
True.
But Richie makes Tracy look fashionable next to him. Their reputations precede them because Richie's like, oh, you're Tracy. And Tracy's like, oh, you're Richie. Come on in. And Tracy's like, what are you doing here, you crazy stalker? And Richie lies and says that he has an Eevee that needs to evolve and he wants to know what Professor Oak has to say. I say he lies because that is a dub edit.
So what did he really say?
I have no fucking idea. I just know that on the Richie page on Bulbapedia, where his name is misspelled as having a T in it, they say that Eevee is dub only. Now, why is he actually there? I don't know.
My first thought is Richie is a part of a bigger plot.
Oh.
And that he was going to be there to, like, fuck some shit up or something.
On whose behalf?
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to ruin Ash's life. I don't know.
I think he's here to take Ash's life, and he's going to wear Ash's clothes, and he's going to sleep in Ash's bed and call Delia mom. And
so this is his single white female moment where he's trying to like assimilate himself into Ash's life and learn about as much as he can about what Ash does on a daily basis.
I mean, Richie has always single white female to Ash. Like, that's what his whole thing is. Now he's in Ash's hometown intel gathering.
I know I'm way premature on this, but like, I know he makes a comment later on where he's like, Ash and I even catch the same Pokemon. And I'm like, stop right now.
Richie's sources are tailing Ash through the Hoenn region and are reporting on every movement he makes. So he immediately had to go get a Talo to imitate Ash having a Talo.
Police? Yes, hello. This person right here.
Officer Jenny's not going to do shit.
Of course.
Officer Jenny's probably Richie's contact, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll see how useless she is in a minute.
So Richie wants to talk to Professor Oak for no apparent reason because he does not own an Eevee. And Tracy's like, sounds reasonable to me. So he calls Professor Oak, who is on Seafoam Island, recording a TV special of some sort. And DJ Mary picks up the phone. And she's like, oh, Tracy, it's terrible. Professor Oak vanished.
Wow.
Horrible. This is horrible. So the boys take a truck to the island.
They hitchhike, by the way. I want you to just know that.
Is that what the implication was?
Yeah, because they're like, it's some moving truck or something, or some industrial truck. And they're like, thanks for the ride. And they hop out and the truck continues on. I'm like, y'all just hitchhiked to this island. All right.
The truck driver leaves without a word. And Tracy and Richie make their way to the TV station. And the security's like, you can't come in here. But DJ Mary's like, oh, thank God Tracy's here. Tracy's going to solve everything. This is Professor Oak's assistant, so he's allowed in. And Tracy amazingly lies and says, and this is Richie. He's Professor Oak's nephew. Let us in.
Why does he lie about this? That's so weird.
Well, what's
weird.
He supposed to say? This is Richie. He's a stranger. Let him in.
Some
kid. He has no connection to anyone.
He's trying to steal Ash's life. Let him in.
Yep. So they come in, and Richie pisses me the hell off. Because he's like, I guess I'm going to take control of this situation now. And he's like, I'm going to canvass on the witnesses and figure out, get statements from all of them, as Officer Jenny sits there doing nothing.
Do you blame him? I mean, Richie's the only one doing anything. The actual police is there, and she's, like, deferring to this little boy. And she's like, yes, wow, this is great. I can't believe we didn't think about this.
That's Jenny's MO. They don't know what to do if there's not a little boy with a Pikachu there to solve the problem for them.
So, I mean, really, though, can you blame Richie for being like, well, Jesus, I guess I better fucking do something because nobody else is.
I absolutely can blame Richie because fuck Richie. Okay. So Richie sits down DJ Mary in, like, the lobby and is like, tell us everything, Mary. And Mary's like, okay, well, Professor Oak and I were rehearsing for our Pokemon cooking show that we apparently have. And it was time for a lunch break. So I am a thirsty, thirsty girl, and she canonically, like, has a crush on Professor Oak, as we've discovered, because she's, like, all up over him multiple times.
Take a hint, girlfriend.
And she's like, oh, Professor Oak, let's have lunch together. Let's go eat in the cafeteria that the TV station has. And Professor Oak is like, okay, Mary, but I hope you know that we have a professional relationship, and I don't plan on crossing boundaries. And DJ Mary is like, haha, I've heard that before. I'll get you in the end, Professor Oak.
Just wait. When Professor Oak sees her sexily eating her Caesar salad, he'll change his mind.
A lot of that was subtext that I extrapolated, but I think it's all canonical.
I can believe it.
Mary apparently is really stupid because she tells Richie, and then he vanished. And Tracy says, he like vanished in front of your eyes? Like he ceased to exist? And Richie is like, or did he like walk away? Tell us more, Mary. You're being useless. And Mary's like, okay, I'll tell you the actually relevant information. And she neglected to mention to us that a mysterious couple of scientists wearing strange glasses and wigs approached them, said, Professor Oak, we need you now. Come with us. And Professor Oak said, okay, anything to get out of lunch with Mary. And Professor Oak left with the scientist and said, Mary, you go ahead to the cafeteria. I'm going to catch up with you. And Mary was like, okay. So she went down to the cafeteria by herself. And then neglected to mention this to anyone.
She could have led with this from the beginning and, like, told that to the police and anybody and said, yeah, so the last person he talked to was these weirdo-looking people. And they'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe we could pull some footage from, like, somewhere on that floor. But they didn't because they're dumb.
Well, apparently, Mary has actually been through all this before. Because Richie says, I bet those suspicious two people might be the ones who took Professor Oak. And Jenny jumps in and says, that's what I thought too, Richie.
Okay. Well, and what are you doing about
that? What's the next step? Okay. Perhaps we could, like, do something. Apparently, what we've done is talk to the front security guard. And he says, no, two suspicious scientists walked by.
Great. This man, I swear to God, may be the most infuriating person ever to ever appear on this anime. Even more than Officer Jenny.
Okay, was he drunk? Was he just stupid? What was going on?
I think this was classic, I don't give a shit security guard who's like, I don't care. They don't pay me enough to care.
No, apparently not.
This man, I swear.
Flunked out of the police academy, and now he's here at the TV station on Seafoam Island.
I think he's just trying to collect a paycheck and not do any work.
So Jenny has done some research, and she discovered no one has used any of the exits all day other than the front entrance. All the other doors have not been opened the entire morning, which seems not realistic, but okay, whatever.
I mean, the only other exits she said were the back emergency exits and then the roof access.
So apparently Jenny has already interviewed the security guard, and Richie's like, well, now it's my turn. I'm Richie. I'm going to do this. So he says, hey, security guard, did anyone come by with a large package? the security guard's like, I don't think so. But eventually we get the info out of him that a delivery person came in with a Nidoqueen suit on a pallet. They thought it was a stuffed Nidoqueen, but it was actually the Nidoqueen suit from the previous Butch and Cassidy episode.
I have to say this was kind of ingenious. Like, lots of thoughts on this. One, Jenny is a moron. Absolute ridiculous interviewing skills. I can't believe her first thought was not like, hey, let me check the CCTV footage. Did anybody come in with a package? Did anybody look suspicious? Oh, look, the fact that somebody came in, there's one person that came with a delivery and two people that left. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And then the guard says, that was weird that one person came in and two people came out. That was odd.
Oh, and by the way, they left the same thing they were supposedly delivering here.
Oh, I wonder what could have happened.
Oh my God, infuriating.
Very Ace Attorney. Like, I feel like Jesus. Richie is Phoenix Wright, and he's like oppressing the statement and being like, oh, hold on, objection. You said that one person came in and two people came out. That makes no sense.
This is like first grade SpongeBob. Like, I can't believe this. This is insane.
Amazingly, this episode does not have a very compelling mystery structure. There's no Agatha Christie happening here.
Well, not with freaking Officer Jenny on the case. Jesus.
Sure enough, the people who came in, the two delivery people, are Butch and Cassidy. Cassidy was hiding in the Nidoqueen suit. And then they shoved Professor Oak into the Nidoqueen suit and shipped him out on the front door, like, oh, 20 minutes God. Later. And now they have him hogtied in the back of a Pidgeot truck. Oh, excuse me, a Pidget truck.
Get it right, Austin. A Pidget truck.
See, I'm telling you, they're going to say Pidget.
I was so happy that we had the return of the Pidget because it made my day.
We then get, like, our 17th flashback in which Dr. Namba tasks Butch and Cassidy with kidnapping Professor Oak so that Dr. Namba can work on his PPAP thing. And I won't do the quote. What?
The PPAP thing?
That's what it was, the PPAP.
Pokemon Power Acceleration Project.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about Dr. Namba.
Oh, God.
Dr. Namba was great in those Lugia episodes when we first met him. I'm glad they thought to bring him back, because he's a character.
Indeed.
But there's been a dynamic shift, because when we first met him, he was the idiot, and Butch and Cassidy were smarter than him, and they were correcting him and his weird faux pas.
Oh,
but now it's switched. And now Butch and Cassidy are the stupid ones. And Dr. Namba's having to be like, these fools, I'm suffering being around.
Okay, which dynamic do we like better? Do we like the dynamic originally where it's like the henchmen are the competent ones having to correct their stupid boss? Or do we like this better where it's kind of more the cliche where it's like, okay, he's the only person who knows anything and he has to deal with these two bumbling buffoons and he has the misfortune of having to, like, use them because there's nobody else, like...
I mean, Butch and Cassidy being the smart ones, I think, was a rarer dynamic than we usually see. And yeah. Also probably more realistic, because, like, how often is the boss not the smartest tool in the shed and the subservient ones are having to correct them? But I feel like we've officially left Butch and Cassidy, our cool and competent era, and we're officially in Butch and Cassidy are dumber than a bag of rocks era.
Yeah, I think I agree. I liked it better when they were the smooth, kind of menacing...
What Jesse and James think they are.
Yeah, like the dichotomy of like the two rival Team Rocket teams where it's like, okay, we have the lovable and goofy Jesse and James dynamic. And then we have like the actually terrifying and competent evil Butch and Cassidy dynamic. And then they are kind of stifled by the fact that their superiors are stupid. And they're like, okay, well, we'll just do our own thing. I don't know.
But now in Jesse and James's absence, Butch and Cassidy have become... far stupider than Jesse and James ever were, it seems like.
Well, they've become the comic relief instead of actual, like, enemies, but sure.
It's an interesting shift, I thought. Dr. Namba says, get Professor Oak. He has some information I need. And Butch and Cassidy say, okay, how? And Dr. Namba is not a micromanager because he says, I don't give a shit how. Just do it. Go. Figure it out. So I guess they came up with this TV station Nidoqueen delivery scheme. And it went off without a hitch because Richie wasn't there yet. But we discover that they have brought Professor Oak to an abandoned warehouse. And they call up Dr. Namba on a big old Zoom screen. And Dr. Namba says, you idiots, you weren't supposed to reveal my identity to him.
Has Oak never, like, I guess he hasn't ever met Namba.
He says he's heard of Dr. Namba. Now, whether he heard of Dr. Namba through the twerps or through other means, unclear.
I would assume, I'm going to guess that he heard about him through Ash and friends, just relaying the whole, like, Lugia stuff to him.
Dr. Namba's identity is exposed, so he's like, whatever, we'll just keep going. Now, tell us everything you know about the Pokérus.
Ooh.
Now, what do we know about Pokérus, Alex? Have you ever had it in the game?
Okay, I have a vague memory of playing, I think it was original gold version.
Oh.
Maybe. I think that's where I initially encountered it, but of course, being a small child playing this back many years ago, I had no idea what it was, and I think, I don't know what happened. I think maybe I, like, released the Pokemon that had it or something. Like, I don't even know what happened with that. That was the one and only instance I've ever had it.
That's like me playing gold, and I saw a shiny and didn't know what it was.
And ran away.
It ran away. It was a Stantler.
Stantler. Of course it was a Stantler. So yeah, other than that, I'm not really super familiar with Pokérus. I know it has a lot to do with, like, metagaming and something, EVs, IVs, I don't know.
I got it once in some game. I don't know what it was, XY or something.
Really?
And I looked up, there's a way to keep it in perpetuity. It has something to do with keeping it in the box. And I tried to do that, but I clearly didn't follow the directions correctly because it went away. The Pokérus left. Like, you're supposed to, like, cross-contaminate it with other Pokemon in the box.
Yeah.
Or something like that, but I didn't do it right.
Okay, so according to our favorite source, Bulbapedia, it says when a Pokemon has the Pokérus, it gains double the effort values from battling.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, fighting a Magikarp, for example, will give you 2 speed EVs rather than 1. Infected Pokemon can infect other Pokemon with the virus for a period of 1 to 4 days. However, the Pokérus timer can be delayed by several methods, such as placing the infected Pokemon in a PC box.
Okay.
Pokérus has a 3 in 65,536 chance of being generated on one of the player's Pokemon after a battle, making it rarer than encountering or hatching a shiny Pokemon. Yeah, I never took advantage of this. I really don't train my Pokemon like that.
But it's interesting that they brought it up here.
Sure.
It's a kind of a obscure little thing to bring up. And Professor Oak apparently has some sort of intel about it. And Dr. Namba's virus samples have died because I guess it's been 1 to 4 days. And he's like, tell me how I can get more, Professor Oak. And Professor Oak's like, I'll never tell you. So Butch and Cassidy torture him by waterboarding him. Just kidding. They put a nail on a piece of glass and make a horrible sound that tortures him because that's how the Pokemon world works. Everything's very G-rated.
I mean, auditory torture? I mean, I imagine this would be, like, awful.
I'm sure there's more to it, but that was not the torture that I think is actually employed by certain federal agencies.
Could you imagine if they really did, like, do waterboarding or, like, bamboo sticks under the fingernails or something? Like, that would be awful.
Meanwhile, Richie has sent out Rose, his newly caught Talo, because he's a stalker, to go find the Pidgeot truck. Tracy remembers that he can draw shit, and he draws a picture of a Pidgeot on a sketch pad so Talo can go find it.
Tracy is so extra. Oh my god.
At least it wasn't like Nurse Joy and DJ Mary scissoring or something.
Whoa.
So our heroes of Richie, Tracy, Officer Jenny, and DJ Mary arrive, which I'm like, what a pathetic squad to come and pull up and save you.
I know, poor Professor Oak.
And Professor Oak is tied to a chair, so he can't get up. So Cassidy and Butch grab him by the ankles and run away with his head bouncing along the ground.
Oh my god! I feel so bad for him. He's gotten like several concussions now.
Ash and Brock and them would have taken care of the situation way quicker than this shit.
Well, we're dealing with the fucking C team. We're not even dealing with the B team. Yeah, this is not even the B team.
Yeah, no. The B team would be like Misty and Delia.
Sure.
And Oak would be on the B team. This is way worse.
Yeah.
Turns out Butch and Cassidy have some new Hoenn Pokemon.
Ooh.
Cassidy has a Sableye making its debut.
That's interesting. What do we think about Sableye?
I like Sableye. It's fine.
It was never one I ever used. No. I like Mega Sableye a little better because it's got a big gem, but like...
See, I don't like Mega Sableye because it has yellow teeth, and I'm like, I cannot handle yellow teeth. Yeah.
Hold on. Really? Yes.
Look it up.
Okay, hold on. Mega Sableye?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it does have yellow teeth. How am I just noticing this?
I can't handle yellow teeth in cartoons. It disgusts me so bad.
Okay, so the official original artwork of Sableye doesn't have its teeth showing.
But I think it has white teeth.
Okay, I guess it does have just regular... Oh, okay, here it is. I guess it just has regular teeth. I didn't know it had yellow teeth.
Yeah, that ruins Mega Sableye for me.
Is there like a reason why it has yellow teeth?
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway.
Tracy sends out old man Scyther, and Scyther sadly dies.
Scyther got his throat ripped out.
Yeah, he did not do very well today.
Mighty Yenna. I felt so bad for it. Oh my god.
Scyther is murdered.
Oh.
But I think in the end, it's Zippo who saves the day. Richie's Charmeleon. Because he sets Professor Oak's scalp on fire. And that gives Professor Oak the strength to run away while tongue-tied to a chair. And that enables Richie and Sparky to blast off Team Rocket. Instead of them being, you know, arrested by Officer Jenny. So it's a happy ending for everyone. Except for Dr. Namba, who didn't get more information on the Pokerus. Now we're back to the TV station because, oh my god, DJ Mary has been anxious this entire time. Because what are we going to do if we can't have the live broadcast of the Pokemon cooking show for everyone in the world who needs to learn how to make a birthday cake for a Cyndaquil? What are we going to do?
That's a catastrophe.
We are able to get back to the TV station in time for this daytime cooking show that no one's watching. Hooray. Now it's nighttime, and it's time for the primetime programming, which includes the famous show, I Wouldn't Eat That If I Were You.
Oh my gosh.
Which Tracy and Richie are going to appear on, I guess, as their reward for interrogating everyone.
And everybody watching is like, who in the hell are these kids?
Is it Fear Factor? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Maybe.
Isn't Joe Rogan always making people, like, eat bugs and shit?
You know what? I'm sorry that you just said that. Reminded me, like, yeah, that was where he originally, like, was from, was fucking Fear Factor. And now he's got his fucking Joe Rogan podcast and has ruined America with his Manosphere bullshit. Okay.
The timeline, if Fear Factor had not existed, can you imagine?
Somewhere there's a parallel universe to ours where none of that ever happened.
Who would be into the Manosphere, Tracy or Richie? I think Tracy.
Tracy for sure.
Yeah, Tracy.
we're immediately like, yeah, no, it's Tracy.
I don't know what Richie's bullshit is, but it's gonna be something different.
Richie's like a serial killer. He's giving me like Ted Bundy or something. I don't know.
I think single white female is the correct metaphor for him.
Oh god. Okay, anyway.
Richie's like, well, I was gonna ask Professor Oak about my Eevee. Oh, and I was gonna stay at the ranch for a few days, but I guess not. What? Richie, what are you talking about? You were going to stay at Pallet Town for a few days? He really is going to single white female Ash.
Was he going to stay with Delia? Like, what the hell was he thinking?
I don't know what. He's going to, like, get adopted by Delia. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And then Professor Oak's like, I have a better idea. Richie, how about you stay at the Oak Lab for weeks, and I will not pay you, but you will make me a new security system because you're so good at being a detective. And I've been wanting to do that anyway since the previous Chronicles episode when Butch and Cassidy broke into my property.
I love how that's the deal he works out. He's like, you can stay here in exchange. You're going to build me a security system and I'll help you with your Eevee.
Great.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. He's going to wake up without a kidney, I swear to God.
Richie's going to go find Ash's underwear drawer and sniff all of it. And then the episode ends. The end.
The end. Oh, God. Okay, I just have a quick question. Do we get a continuation of this in any form?
We see Richie again. We see the Pallet Town crew again, of course. But there's no follow-up on a security system, unless I'm forgetting something, which I very well could have.
So you're saying that we see Tracy, Richie, Oak, Pallet Town in general. Like, there's a third episode following the initial Butch and Cassidy Oak Ranch, and then this.
There's more Oak stuff. There's more Butch and Cassidy. But I don't think Richie gets involved with Professor Oak after this. Okay. I think something went terribly wrong, and he got kicked out of Pallet Town. I don't know.
Fair enough.
But I could be wrong. I could very well be mistaken.
I wouldn't doubt it. He's blacklisted. Okay. Well, that was great. Thank you, Austin.
That was a weird episode. That was very strange.
It was entertaining, but it was weird.
I guess the point of this was to see Richie and DJ Mary again? Okay.
Okay, because fan favorites back by popular demand or something.
Oh, let's talk about DJ Mary's hair.
Oh, it's so bad. It's worse than Roxanne's.
I don't think we've ever gotten a back view of her before, because I never noticed that bullshit that was happening in the back of her head.
That's probably for the best. It's kind of like how we don't really see the back of Sharpedo, because there's really nothing going on back there other than some horrors. Mary has, like, two hair... What would you even call them? Like, hair tubes that are, like, clipped behind her head that are, like, growing separately from the rest of her hair. It's so weird.
It's very needlessly complex.
It makes you wonder if hair like this, like, how does it function in the real world? Like, how could you make hair do that? You couldn't.
She's got a hairstyle fit for radio.
Yeah. Ew. But she's branching out. She's on TV now, so.
That's true. And then we never, ever see her again.
Good. Goodbye, DJ Mary. Nobody missed you.
She finally made her move on Oak, and he had to say, no, Mary, you need to stop doing this.
He had to kill her.
Delia had to kill her.
Would we blame her? No, not really.
Mr. Mime put on a skin suit and disguised himself as Oak and broke into Mary's room and
oh my god,
choked her to death with an invisible field in her throat.
Were you inspired by my Halloween fan fiction?
I was.
Where Mimey wore a skin suit? Okay.
All right, let's flip the coin. Heads, I'm first again.
Oh.
My MVP is going to be... Oh, God. Professor, no. My MVP is going to be... Joe Rogan? No, I'm kidding.
No! MVP
is going to be... Delia for sitting this one out? Is that decent? Is that okay?
She had the foresight to stay the hell away.
Yeah, she managed to sit this one out entirely. Good for her. My LVP, I don't even know where to begin. Everyone gets an LVP. Tracy gets an LVP. Richie gets an LVP. DJ Mary gets an LVP. Professor Oak gets an LVP for getting brutalized today.
This fucking security guards.
Mega Stabilized Yellow Teeth gets an LVP. The security guard, specifically the front desk guy. There's too much LVP love to share. But I guess I'm going to give it to Officer Jenny.
Of course. Deserved.
Because she's the only one whose job it is to deal with this shit. And she did do some work, but not
what?
Enough.
What? What work did she do? She did, like, one DJ interview? She
interviewed DJ Mary, and she interviewed a security guard guy. And they are, like, the most hopeless cases in the world. We're giving, like, no information.
That, like, that's your job as a detective and a police officer, to continue to press the issue and follow up on leads. She's the worst for just taking these morons at their word and being like, oh, yeah, I don't know, I didn't see anything. And she's like, okay, I guess, like, I can't do anything, and this poor man's gonna die. Like, oh, well, I did all I could do.
That's why Officer Jenny gets LVP over all those other people who also deserve it.
Jesus, all right.
There are so many good quotes in this episode. There are so many good ones. But I'm going to go with Cassidy and Dr. Namba. Dr. Namba says, I've reached an impasse. And Cassidy says, congratulations, sir. And Dr. Namba says, no, an impasse is a bad thing.
I love that. Oh my God. They're so dumb. I mean, this would have never happened with OG Butch and Cassidy. Like, Cassidy was actually, like, pretty shrewd, and now she's, like, a complete lost cause. I don't...
Getting thrown by that Nidoking really rattled her brain.
I think maybe she's got some, like, brain damage. I'm not sure.
Okay, your go.
Oh, boy. Okay, my MVP. You gave it to Delia. I know. Okay, you know what? I have one. The only person who deserves it, I suppose... The truck driver who gave them a ride. The
unseen truck driver.
The unseen, unnamed, unknown hero who gave these two kids a lift for free to an island and did not rob them and or kill them. So thank you, sir or ma'am. We don't know you, but at least they did something. I don't know. The only competent person, I guess. They knew the way to Seafoam Island.
Great.
My LVP is going to be DJ Mary. For one, trying to step in on Delia's man. Take a hint, Mary. Nobody wants you.
She's always after him.
And two, she couldn't give relevant details right off the bat. Instead, she's completely stupid when she's doing this interview. And she's like, well, he just vanished. And we had to, like, pull teeth to get the answer from her. Plus, her hair is horrible. And fourthly, I can't believe it. I can keep going. At the end, after Oak's life has been threatened, and he's clearly in pain and having been tortured and ran into a wall and his hair set on fire and all this stuff.
Has 30 concussions.
I know. He has, like, several concussions. He's mildly brain damaged at this point. She's like, Oak, I can't believe you're being so selfish. We have to go. You need to do your TV segment. Oh, my God. Get up off your ass and hurry up to this TV broadcast. She doesn't even let the man rest.
It's like a 5-minute segment on, like, the Today Show. Like, what the hell is going on?
You know, she doesn't even ask him how he is or, like, oh my God, are you okay? Is there anything that we can do? Like, you should totally just go home and rest after your traumatic kidnapping experience. But no, she's so concerned about her own fucking self that she's like, hurry up, Oak, we gotta make it to the TV station.
You know what she's attracted to in Professor Oak? Fame.
Yeah, she's a user. She's a user with bad hair. So screw DJ Mary. I'm glad we never see her again.
Can I just say, there's something about DJ Mary.
There is something about her.
An episode title I really wanted to use last time and forgot to use.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can use it. Perfect. Wonderful. Love that.
Excellent.
Serendipity, for sure.
It was that or Jump the Sharpedo.
Those are both really good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to pick. Sometimes we really struggle and sometimes they're just like perfect. Anyway, she is the big loser in this episode, so see you never again. Oh, also, I just want to give an honorary MVP to Old Man Scyther because we love Old Man Scyther.
I considered him, but he like really got brutalized today, so I couldn't give it to him in good faith.
I know, it's really sad. I'm glad he's still alive, though, even though it's probably at this point a kindness to like put him out of his misery.
Put him down. We need this to is just cruel.
Humanely euthanize Old Man Scyther.
We needed to do that for a while now.
Tracy, honorary LVP for keeping alive an animal that's clearly suffering. God.
We need to train that Venonat and make it into a battler. Because I know. Scyther can't handle it.
We haven't seen Venonat in years.
No, we have not.
Anyway, so my quote is, I didn't have half as many good quotes as you said there was. Like, I struggled, but...
Oh, I have so many. Okay, keep going.
I guess the only one that's slightly interesting was when they find Professor Oak and he's still tied up to a chair and Richie screams at him, can you move? Get up and run. And Oak screams at him as he's like flailing around on the ground. I'm tied to the chair.
This is a great episode, actually.
I know. That was funny. I had to rewind it a couple times because I got that tickled me.
Okay, what else is there? Okay, there's when they're canvassing the building and Richie says, so basically the front entrance is the only way out of the building. And Tracy, off screen, in what's clearly a dub line, says, isn't that kind of a fire hazard?
Oh, that was funny.
And I don't have the exact quote, but I will say when Dr. Namba says, have you heard of the PPAP? And Cassidy says, yes, sir. Isn't that some kind of Pokemon rights organization?
Oh my gosh.
PETA call out.
I wonder if that was during the whole, like, Pokemon PETA thing.
PETA's always coming for everyone. PETA's so fucking stupid. I can't respect any celebrity who supports PETA. I'm not even sorry.
Oh my god, no. Alan Cumming. No!
No.
I know.
Celebrities are not your friends. Celebrities go where the money goes. That's what all it is.
After we watched Chimp Crazy, I was kind of like, sus.
Not good.
Anyway, all right, that's that. Yeah.
That Sharpedo episode was boring, but that Chronicles is so crazy all the time.
I love it. All right, what's next week, Austin?
Brave the Wave and Which Wurmple's Which?
Ooh, I remember that one. Slightly. Barely. Kind of. But a little. We'll get there. Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Not really. All right, anyway. Well, that's fun and exciting.
There's a black hole in my brain where that episode should be.
If I remember it right, I kind of wonder, like, whoever their original Wurmples were, if that's truly the case at the end. We'll see what happens.
Okay, all right, we'll get there.
All right. Well, if that's everything, any final thoughts? Anything you want to just get off your chest? Say with your whole heart? I don't know.
Nope. I have no thoughts.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, like our listeners, Liam and Pokemon Megastar, you can always do that. We have our Gmail account. You can always email us. outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can leave us comments like Pokemon Megastar does on your podcast platform of choice. Or follow us over on Blue Sky at outofthedryingpan. Again, at outofthedryingpan. We also have our Instagram. You can reach out to us over there. Same handle, at outofthedryingpan. We also have our Patreon. If you like what we do and you want to support this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. You can check that out. Link in the description. We have all kinds of fun bonus content. So go ahead and check that out. And don't forget, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us out. We would super appreciate that as well. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you next week as the journey continues.